going to pray a few more times before this evening is over. Let's begin by praying for this word tonight. Heavenly Father, it's always an honor to stand in your beautiful presence, O Lord. And God, we are so thankful for the living word that you have ordained would literally change our lives, God. And so tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, we are a people of faith. We are a people who are hungry and thirsty to just receive the divine oracles and what it is that you would want to say. God, you promise in your word that your word does not return void, but that, Lord, it will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it out. And so we ask tonight, God, that you would speak, that you would move, that you would have your way tonight in your word that you would want to share. In your mighty name we pray, and we give you all the glory and honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Our title tonight is Guard Your Anointing, Part 1. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9, familiar verses for all of us. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation. Somebody say chosen. A royal priesthood, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know tonight, family of God, Christ City Church, wherever you have come from tonight, do you know that you are part of God's chosen generation, that he has called you by name out of your darkness, out of your sin, to proclaim the glorious praises of his light tonight? There is a divine holy calling upon our lives, and what an honor it is to be able to serve and to minister unto Jesus Christ. Our purpose tonight, the divine purpose, is that we are ministers of Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I pray tonight that we would be those ministers of God who would minister unto the Lord in such a measure, with one voice, with one song, that the glory of the Lord would fill his house, that he would be honored in our ministry unto him. Our second purpose is to minister to one another with the anointing that the Holy Spirit has poured out upon every single one of us. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says that Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. I want it to be from this day forward, that every day we walk with a fresh horn of oil, with a fresh anointing of the Spirit upon our lives. The promise for us today as priests of the Lord is that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And here's our verse for us tonight. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. This word anointing is translated unction. It is an ointment that literally means to smear on. It is meant that we would be anointed with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that it would cover our entire bodies. It would cover every aspect of our lives. The special endowment of the Holy Spirit is meant that we would speak the oracles of God, that we would minister to one another the very word of the Lord. 1 John 2:20 in the Amplified Version gives us a greater understanding of this verse. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. The Holy Spirit is the one who prepares us to minister to each other. He illuminates our minds to know the truth of the Word of God, and He guards us from error. The responsibility lays upon us to guard and to protect this holy anointing with humility, with honor, and a reverence respect. The word guard here in this verse, it suggests that there is a danger. There is a warning to us that this anointing can be attacked or weakened in some way. Isn't it true that in the natural, we go to great lengths to protect our physical bodies? Every time we get into our vehicles, we buckle up. You should if you don't. For those who play the more dangerous contact sports, they gear up. There is specific gear that they put upon their bodies to protect them. Every time we enter our home or our place of business, we shut the door. Sometimes we lock them. Sometimes we set our alarms because we understand that there are enemies, there are dangers lurking that can attack our physical bodies. So we take every precaution necessary to protect our lives, to secure our homes, to train our children in how to be protected and safe as well. As intentional as we are to protect our lives in the natural, how much more do we need to protect our lives in the spiritual as well? We must be aware of the forces that are at work to attack your anointing, to weaken your spiritual fervor, to tempt you to shrink back in your church attendance, to keep your praise sporadic, to keep your hands hanging down instead of raised up. There is a spiritual war against your soul, against yours and your children's passion for Jesus Christ. There is a war for your heart and your mind every single day, and this war is real. You see, the time for us to be trained to be on guard is now. The time for us to train our children in their spiritual armor and weaponry and anointing is now. The time for the church of Jesus Christ to stand on guard, to rise up, to be skilled and anointed in the word of God is now. The time for us to have a holy violence, to go after the cause of Christ, the kingdom of God is now, because you can be sure that there is an enemy who is advancing violently. So must we be more so in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let us be strengthened tonight to guard our anointing as ministers of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, the verses we always use when we're talking about spiritual war, but it's literally titled in the New King James Version, The Spiritual War. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The end of this passage, our obedience is equated with our spiritual weapons, because church, us being armed in the Spirit is not a suggestion, it is a command. It is a requirement upon our lives. We cannot minister effectively if we are defeated, if our anointing is dried up. We cannot minister with the special endowment of the Holy Spirit upon our lives if we are walking in disobedience. Our families need us to be anointed. Our church needs its members to be anointed. Every place the Lord has set us is ripe for spiritual breakthrough, but we need the endowment of the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. You see, I am so aware every day that in my conversations with the people that I am having, that my words, they only hold a measure of wisdom. My words only hold a measure, a very small measure of encouragement, of divine love, of the Holy Spirit. The only words that are going to penetrate the minds and the hearts around us are the words of God, words that are Spirit-filled and anointed. When you sit around your table or in your vehicle with your family, when you are fellowshipping with other believers, with friends in Jesus Christ, we want the very center of their hearts to be ministered to with Spirit-filled words. We want them to be touched with the Holy Spirit, with the very oracles of God. There are four areas of anointing that I felt the Lord wants us to guard, especially in our lives. We're just going to look at two of them tonight. But number one is anoint my heart. Anoint my heart. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our spiritual life flows from what resides within our hearts, and we need to be on guard. We need to be so aware of what we are allowing to enter and reside in our hearts, because if there is ungodliness, if there is unforgiveness, if there is anything that does not belong, it will affect the level of our anointing. We desperately need Jesus to anoint our hearts, to cleanse them, to heal them, to fill them with such an undivided passion for Him and His purpose. God urges us to guard our hearts. In fact, when He lays out the spiritual weaponry for us to put on in our lives in Ephesians chapter 6, there is one very important piece of armor that He teaches us about, a piece of armor that specifically is meant to go over the front of our body so that it would protect our hearts. Ephesians 6, let's just read a couple of these verses. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It is the breastplate of righteousness that we must secure over our heart as a protection. This word righteousness in this verse, it is translated in two ways. The first is right living before God with integrity, purity of life, correctness of thinking, feeling, and active. And secondly, it is the doctrine. It is the very word of God concerning the way in which we may attain a state approved by God. The breastplate of righteousness is the doctrine of Christ. It is the very oracles of God. It is His teachings by which our thinking, our feelings, and our actions must line up with His holy nature and character in His word. Satan is attacking the position of your hearts. We must put on the word of God, fit it securely over our heart. We must use our shield of faith, our firm trust in God, to be able to deflect the fiery darts of the enemy when he comes to attack our Christ passion, our kingdom focus in our heart. May we recognize the elements that are seeking to come against our heart, and let us shut the door of our hearts to every ungodly area of sin and temptation. King David is one of our most treasured examples of a warrior whose heart was centered on God, whose highest passion was to worship and please his king. He was a warrior who was anointed because the Lord knew that he could trust his servant David. The Lord knew that David's highest passion and his highest focus was on his living God. He was anointed because of this. He was a humble servant. You see, David had experienced, and he had come to learn in his life that his praise and worship, that his passion for the word of God would secure him victory over every enemy that sought to infiltrate his heart and his soul. 1 Samuel chapter 17 records the very familiar story of when David fought against the giant Goliath. I want to take a few moments and just look at this story, perhaps with fresh eyes, perhaps with fresh insight upon our hearts, because it holds a lot of beautiful truths, but just a few key areas that we can be encouraged in of how David's heart was guarded and anointed and how the Lord brought victory because of that. In this passage opening up, we have the Philistine army who is encamped across the valley from the Israelites. They're ready for battle. They're ready to go to war. We're given the description of the leader of the Philistine army, this giant Goliath, and we're told of his towering height, his massive build, his weaponry, his armor that is not to be fought against. So mighty is it. In verse 8, it says that Goliath marched out, and he challenges the Israelite army to send just one man, not the whole army, just one man to come and fight against him. It says 40 days. Morning and night, Goliath marches out and he challenges the Israelite army to send one man. And it says in the scripture that the Israelites were greatly afraid and they shrunk back in fear because of this giant. 40 days the Israelites heard the challenge. They heard the mocking of their enemy. They heard the strength and the fierceness in his voice. 40 days they heard their enemy taunting them, and they shrank back in fear. The story goes on to tell us that three of David's older brothers, they go and join Saul's army. And Jesse, the father of David, wants to receive a report on how these soldiers are doing in battle. And so he sends David with some provisions for his brothers and for the captain of the army. In verse 20, it says, David rose early in the morning and went to meet the army. And we are told he runs out to greet his brothers. And at the same time as he is greeting his brothers, he hears the daily challenge, the daily taunt of this giant Goliath, calling for them to send one man to fight him and to end this battle. And at the same time that David hears this giant Goliath call forth this taunt for them to send one man, he witnesses the entire army, his army, the Israelite army, they flee in fear from this giant. And I love David's response in verse 26. He says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God?" You see, David heard the enemy's voice. He saw the Israelites' fear, yet the very first words out of David's mouth were indignation that this enemy should defy his living God, the God of all power and victory. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. You see, the words of David in this moment, they reflect exactly what resided in his heart, a firm trust, a faith, an honor, a passion, a resolve in his God who was living and who would secure his victory. Let's read verses 28 to 32. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. And he sent for him. And then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, because of the enemy. Your servants will go and fight with this Philistine." David's heart was attacked here by his brother. And we hear the words that Eliab said to David in this moment. "I know there's pride and there's insolence in your heart." Eliab's anger caused hurtful words to attack the very heart and spirit of David. And it would have been easy for David to react harshly to his brother in this moment. It would have been easy for David to shrink back in embarrassment, in offense. It would have been easy for David to turn his back on the battle this day and just to return home. But because David's heart was so pure before the Lord, because David spent so much personal time seeking the Lord in the deepest places of his heart, there was a guard upon David's heart. There was an anointing upon David's heart. The Holy Spirit covered David's heart so that he could move past these hurtful words quickly, and he was able to keep his eyes on the cause and the call of the Lord in this moment. And in fact, we see David's response to his brother in verse 29 when he says, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" In other words, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Stop attacking the motives of my heart, for my trust and my faith are on the cause for which God has set this army in this place for this moment. And I will not take my eyes off of that cause." David's anointing and strength is further seen in this passage when he says to Saul in verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servants will go and fight with this Philistine." You see, David recognized the reason the Israelites shrunk back for 40 days, day and night, was because of the fear in their hearts. Their hearts were not fortified with the Spirit of God. Their hearts did not have a firm faith, trust, and courage to be able to move forward, knowing that their God would deliver them in this battle. And in the following verses, the strength and anointing upon David's heart to believe in God and his power is evident, as he confidently tells Saul that he will fight against Goliath, for his God who delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear would surely deliver him from this giant Goliath. And so Saul agrees to let David go up against Goliath, and Saul begins to put his own armor upon David. But as David begins to walk in Saul's armor, he immediately discerns and recognizes that this armor was not going to work for him in this particular battle. You see, he recognized that Saul's armor represented the natural armor. It represented the armor of the world. And he knew, because he walked so closely with God, that his armor was not anointed. The reason that the Israelites shrunk back in fear from this giant for 40 days was because they were fearful in their natural armor. And let me tell you something, we should be afraid of our natural armor, because our natural skill and ability will not secure the spiritual breakthrough that we need for the battle that we have been called to. You see, they did not trust in the power of their God. They were not anointed in their hearts. They did not have the courage of the Lord set firmly upon their heart to be able to move forward against this giant. David recognized what he really needed in order to win this battle was supernatural armor. And so he takes off the armor of the world. He takes off this natural armor that was not empowered by the Lord. And instead, he took a staff in his hand. He went down to the brook and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones, put them in a shepherd's pouch, and had a sling in the other hand. And David, now clothed with the only armor that he needed, the supernatural armor of the Lord, he faced that giant with such courage, with such faith, with no fear, but with a confidence and a trust in his living God. And he knew that God would secure him victory in that day. There was no fear in David's heart. The Lord had anointed him to fight every battle. The position of David's heart in this story, his firm trust in his God, it released the anointing of the Lord and gave David courage to face his enemies. Can you pray this with me tonight? Anoint my heart, O Lord, just as you anointed that of David's. Let there be a firm faith and a firm trust that is set so deep within our hearts that we will not fear any enemy, any giant that wants to come against us. We will stand in the name of the Lord, knowing that he has anointed us as his chosen generation. Satan is after your trust tonight, your passion in Christ, for your heart to be weak in the cause of Christ. And when the enemy taunts us, when he throws the fiery darts of his word to pierce our hearts, they have the ability to cripple us. But we must immediately recognize that there is a cause, church. There is a cause that God has called us to. And when we keep the breastplate of righteousness, the very word of God fitted securely and entirely upon our heart, when we use our shield of faith to deflect those darts of the enemy, that we are able to move forward in the anointing and the supernatural power to defeat every enemy and advance the cause of God. Jesus told Peter that he was praying for him that his faith would not fail. Jesus did not stop Satan from taunting Peter, from tempting him, from coming against him, but he warned Peter to guard his heart, to shore up his shield of faith, to be steadfast and firm, to guard his faith. And we know that, unfortunately, in this story, that Peter did not listen to the Lord. And so when the enemy came against him, he failed. His faith was not strong enough to stand in the midst of this enemy. And Peter had to endure such shame, such regret and sorrow over not having fortified his heart as the Lord had urged him to. And tonight, Jesus Christ is our champion. Tonight, he is fighting for our hearts and our faith to be guarded, to be strong, so that he can pour out the fresh horn of oil and anoint us in every battle that we find ourselves in. David said, let no man's heart fail because of the enemy. Let no man's heart fail because of the enemy. Church, let us fight with the anointing and the covering of the Holy Spirit upon us. Every time you close the door of your home, let it be a reminder to ensure that you are closing the door of your heart to whatever ungodly elements are seeking to infiltrate it. Let there be nothing that enters or resides in your heart that gives the devil access to your holy living, to your anointing. to your emotions, to your minds. Lord, anoint our hearts, we pray, so that the overflow of our hearts, so that our words and actions are anointed to fight for your cause. And number two tonight, the final thing really quickly, is anoint my eyes and ears. We need to put a guard over our eyes and our ears, that a spirit of holiness would guide us in everything that we see and everything that we hear. I can't help but remember the old children's song that we used to sing. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down below. There is a cause, church, a holy, divine cause that we must fight for. Our anointing is crucial to be able to push back the powers of darkness, the wiles of the enemy that are seeking to shake the very glory of God off of our lives. And you can be sure that what enters your eyes, it matters. What enters your ears, it matters. They are the gateway to our heart. They are the gateway to our passions and ultimately to our anointing. Now, we obviously live in a world where we do not always have choice over what we see and hear, but there can be a Holy Spirit guard upon us so that it does not hinder our anointing. But then there are choices. Then there are choices where we choose to walk, places that we choose to enter, the things that we choose to look at and to listen to. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shoes or the greaves of brass that were once part of the military armor, they were worn to defend the feet of the soldiers against the gall traps, against the sharp sticks that the enemy would place in their path intentionally, on purpose, hoping to trip them up, hoping to injure them, hoping to obstruct their marching. And the word preparation in this verse, it signifies a heart that is prepared. A heart that is prepared and resolved to abide by God's word, to not be tripped up by the ungodly standard and temptation of the world. We are priests, every single one of us tonight in this house, who need to carry the Holy Spirit, who need to be in prayer at all times. Praying in the Spirit at all times that spiritual breakthrough would be released in our ministry to our sons and daughters, that spiritual breakthrough would be released in our ministry in the house of God, in our ministry out in the world, wherever the Lord has set us. So church, we cannot afford to allow our feet to enter places where what you see and what you hear will be compromising the standard of the Lord for your anointing. We must have perfect vision in the spiritual. This doesn't mean that we will always get to see what the plan of the Lord is. No. But this means that we trust that His ways are higher, His plans are greater than our plans. How many soldiers do you know that walk onto the battlefield blind? How many soldiers do you know who go to war and they have impaired vision or hearing? Isn't it true that there are rigorous physicals and tests that soldiers must endure just to be accepted onto the battlefield? Your spiritual sight and hearing is imperative to guard against the enemy. He's after our spiritual vision tonight for your eyes to be taken off of the Lord's cause. Proverbs 29, verse 18 in the King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The Message translation says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Wow. The Passion translation says, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. Let's have the worship team return at this time, please. You see, we will be defeated on the battlefield if we do not have the vision of the Lord at all times. We will quickly wander from Him if we take our eyes off of His cause. We need God to anoint our eyes to trust in His plan even when we cannot see it. That is what the anointing is for. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, the young boy Samuel saying to the Lord, desiring to hear of His voice, He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." How are we positioned tonight, church, to be able to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? When you hear the Spirit say no, Do you obey that voice? Can we yield our lives to his conviction and to his leading? How do we fortify our spiritual eyes and ears? The image of fortifying our feet, it does speak to the places that we enter. But it also speaks to those who sit at the feet of their master, receiving his instruction. Ephesians 6, verse 18, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The best spiritual weapon that we can use to fortify our spiritual sight and hearing is the word of God. When we sit under the word, when we read the word and receive it by faith to grow our character, it sensitizes us to the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit. As we read the word of God, our eyes and our ears are being strengthened in his vision and his voice. The word is described as a sword because it discerns and protects the areas that seek to enter the eye and ear gates. Lord, we pray for fresh anointing upon our eyes and our ears so we can have your vision and your voice. There are enemies attacking our praise and prayer warfare, trying to keep our hearts and our eyes and our ears from being anointed as we minister to one another. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Church, I pray tonight that there would be a holy fire and a zeal that would rise up within our spirits, that we would be able to face the giants in our lives, and we would be able to say, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Come on, who is the enemy in your life who dares to defy the chosen son and daughter who is anointed with the special endowment of the Holy Spirit? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? We need to be giant killers in the kingdom of God. And this requires supernatural anointing, supernatural armor. I'm not content for Christians to live defeated, downcast, without power. I am not content for Christians to merely attend church, and yet in their daily lives there is no spiritual victory or power. I am not content with just a small outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but I yearn for the full measure of the Holy Spirit to be poured out. I yearn for the full measure of the giftings of the Lord to be poured out with signs and wonders that follow. And so I understand that my holy living, it matters. My church attendance, it matters. My praise weapons, they matter. Training our children in their spiritual armor and weapons, it matters in the name of Jesus. Let's stand together tonight. Would you just pray this with me tonight? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to pour out a fresh horn of oil. But Holy Spirit, anoint our hearts. Let us recognize the fiery darts of the enemy when they attack. Anoint our eyes and our ears, that we would be led into holiness with weapons of righteousness on every side of us in the name of Jesus. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Nobody is left out from this promise and this call tonight. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and he guards us from error. Come on, church, is there not a cause? We stand on guard for the anointing of our children tonight in the name of Jesus. We stand on guard for the anointing of Christ City and for the city of Edmonton and the nation of Canada tonight in the name of Jesus. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? Tonight, O Lord, we worship you. Come and endue us afresh with the fresh outpouring of the horn of oil we ask tonight. Let's press in. Let's worship him. If you need prayer, you can come. But let's spend a few moments asking for the fresh outpouring of the anointing over our lives.